morning, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And I know the program says for scripture reading none today, but I guess I'm none. So our scripture reading today is from Proverbs 20, 5 through 7. The purpose of the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in integrity, and his children are blessed because of him.
Amen. That does put Wes in good company. Joshua was the son of Nun, so that puts him in very, very good company. I found something very interesting. I also found it very alarming. If you take the word father and look it up in the dictionary, the word right before it is fatigued, and the word right after it is fathead. I found that very, very interesting. A while back, I don't even remember exactly when it was, Linda and I had just finished eating breakfast, and we were watching Hoda and Kathy Lee. Well, I can make about 5 or 6 minutes of Hoda and Kathy Lee, and I told Linda, I said, I need to go start a brand new sermon. What should I preach about? She said, don't forget, Sunday week is Father's Day. I bet you haven't even started a Father's Day sermon. She was right, I did, and here it is. We begin with the traditional Happy Father's Day. But brothers and sisters, that's probably the last traditional thing we will do in our lesson today. For instance, instead of having one passage of Scripture and building the lesson around that text, we have 12 passages of Scripture that we will use in our lesson. We begin in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. Moses is preparing the Israelites to enter into Canaan. And he says, in the wilderness where you saw the Lord carried you, as a father carries his children, in all the way that you went until you came into this place. Then we go to Joshua 24, 35. This is where Joshua is encouraging or demanding that the Israelites choose, either choose God or choose the father's gods. But he said, as for me and my house, we'll choose the Lord. And then we turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 4 verse 6. This was a passage we used not long ago. Malachi is talking about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. And he says that he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. And we have a lot of other verses. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that love him. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, for the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father does his son. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children find him as refuge. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise when your mother when she is old. The father of the righteous man has great joy, and he who has a son delights in him. Jesus said, or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, human, know how to give good gifts to your children, even more so, our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. Paul writes, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He also wrote, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. The Hebrew penman says, endure hardship as discipline. God is dealing with us as his sons. For what son has not been disciplined by his father? I received an email not long ago. I don't believe it was from Elaine, but this is the kind of email that she likes to send. The title was something like this: Understanding What Your Children Are Actually Saying. Understanding what they are actually saying. For instance, if your child says, I just can't eat any more of my vegetables, they're saying one of two things. They're either saying, have I eaten enough vegetables that I don't have to eat any more? Or they're saying, have I eaten enough of my vegetables so that I can have dessert? Understanding what our children are saying. If your child says, I didn't do it, what he is really saying is, it has not been proven that I did it. And until it is proven, then I claim my innocence. If your child says, that Frankie Smith is a no good, dirty liar, what he's actually saying is, you can expect Frankie Smith's parents to be calling you sometime today. If your son comes up to you and says, Dad, Mom said I could go, what he is actually saying is, if you say I can go, then I'm going to go to Mom and said, you said that I can go. And if your son says, can I have a dog? He wants a dog. But if he is really tricky, he will say, can I have a boa constrictor? Knowing that you're not going to give him a boa constrictor, maybe you'll give him a dog. Brethren, to say the least, it's difficult to understand what our children are saying. And to say the most, it's difficult to be a parent. The greatest challenge, other than being a Christian, is being a parent. It has the greatest challenges. It brings the greatest pain. But it also gives us the greatest reward of anything in this life. Now, if you're like me, when your children were young, and probably even now, one thing that you constantly told them was this: just be the best you can be. Just do your best. Now, parents, and especially fathers and grandfathers, if we expect our children and our grandchildren to give it their best, to be the best they can be, to do their best, then don't our children and our grandchildren have the right to expect the best from us also? That's what Solomon is saying in Proverbs 22:6. Bring up a child in the way he should go, and when that child is old, he will not depart from it. Now, brethren, we love our children. We love our grandchildren. I assure you, if this has not happened already, it will come a day when for some reason your children will turn against you. Maybe for a few moments, maybe for longer than that. Maybe as a parent, I do something wrong and I alienate my children. Maybe I don't do something wrong and I still alienate my children. Maybe they don't meet the standard that I have set. Or maybe I've set the standard too high. But Solomon is saying, if we lay the right foundation, even though they might go away, as did the prodigal, Luke chapter 15. If we lay the right foundation, even if they go away, there is an opportunity that they will come to themselves and come back home. And you remember what that father was doing as he was waiting for that prodigal? He was looking for him. And when his son returned, there was great, great rejoicing. That's what Solomon is saying in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, in my entire lesson, and I'm a long way from being through, but in my entire lesson, I'm only going to make one point. I'm going to word it several different ways, but I'm only going to make one point. I'm going to direct it to we fathers, but mothers, you can listen too. What our children need, fathers, is to see a God-loving, God-respecting, God-obeying, God-first man in their life. A God-first man that is consistent, a God-first man that is committed, a God-first man that is conscientious. By consistent, I mean a man who is free from variation or contradiction. A father who is unbiased, who is non-prejudiced, who is completely fair. By committed, I mean a man who is completely given to a specific purpose. A father who is fiercely loyal, who is trustworthy and dedicated. By conscientious, I mean a man with strict regard for what is morally right. A father who lives and a father who demands purity, wholesomeness, and faithfulness. That's what our children need. And if you ask me, well, I'll tell you anyway. There's a lot of children that don't have that in our world. Now, I'll go on record saying every dad that I know in this congregation is trying to be the very best dad they can possibly be. But it's not that way in the world. The problem with fatherhood in the 21st century is that dads just don't want to be involved. If they're there at all, they just don't want to be involved. And they don't know what way to lead. Solomon said, lead them in the way. They don't know what way that is anyway. And they probably wouldn't lead that way anyway. So what is the way that Proverbs 22 is talking about? What is Solomon talking about? Lead them in the way. What way? Let's listen to Jesus. What way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Fathers, as fathers, we need to live godly lives. To quote a famous television character, duh. Everybody knows that. But more than just lead a godly life ourselves, it has to be lived in a way that our wives realize we are godly men, and our children realize we are godly men, and our congregation realizes we are godly men, and our community realizes we are godly men. And let's don't stop there. Our world will realize that we are godly men, and it will work. It's proven in the scripture, and it will work. We need to love our children. We need to love our families. We need to love the church. Jesus said it is that degree of love that will separate us from the rest of the world. Godly men are moral. They're virtuous. They're scriptural in their approach, and it will renew their lives. It will renew their marriages. It will renew their parenting. It will renew the church, the community, and the world. And as we're working toward that goal, we need to base it on two sets of hands. One set of hands is God's, and the other is ours. If we will lock hands with Him, we can do things and be what we want to be that we could never do or be without that. Too many men have this machismo attitude. I can do it myself. I will do it myself. And if you try to interfere, even if it is in the area of helping me, I don't want it. I don't need it. My friend, you need God. You need Jesus. You need the church. You need a good family. You need good children. That's what will be a success to your life. Just link up with God. Your life will be changed. Your life will be improved. Your family will be healed if we live godly lives. Listen to me. If we live godly lives, odds are our children will be godly. And if not, then not. To the Ephesians and also to the Colossians, Paul, by inspiration of God, wrote these words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long upon the earth. And then he wrote one of the 12 texts that we're using in our lesson today. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, those words are completely inspired of God. That is not a suggestion. That is a godly command. And let me say something that every parent here will completely agree with me. Parenting is not easy. It never has been easy. It never will be easy. I saw a cartoon one time and it wasn't funny at all. A grown child went to visit his aged parents and he said, "Mom and Dad, why didn't you tell me raising children was this difficult?" Because we learn. We learn ourselves. But we need to be what's best for our children. And what's best for our children is to be an example of godly Christian lives before their eyes. Brethren, the best thing we can ever give our children is to be the example of godliness that God wants us to be. And we should never be satisfied with anything less than a total transformation into the image of God. And when we finish this marathon, when we finish this race that is set before us, when we reach the finish line, we're all spent. And when we go across that symbolic Jordan and we enter into eternity, we fall into the hands and arms of a loving Savior and say, "I don't have any more to give. I left it all behind." And he will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He will say, "Enter thou into the joys prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Maybe he will even quote the Apostle Paul, saying, "You fought the good fight. You finished the course. You kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for you this crown of righteousness, which all those who love Jesus is appearing will also receive." That's what parenting is all about. It's not about showing thousands and thousands of pictures on our cell phone and bragging about what a wonderful child we have. It's not about pinning awards and things on the wall just to prove how wonderful our children are. The responsibility is to lead them to the Lord, to lead them to heaven. That's what it's all about. Now, I realize even I got a little bit touched here today. That was not really the intent of my lesson. The intent of my lesson is for all of us to realize the tremendous responsibility we have. You see, during Vacation Bible School last week, it was almost like I was the daddy of 50 kids. I saw them that way. For a week, they all belonged to me, and I needed to lead the proper example for them. And the children are looking at us guiding their life from us, on us. Even the ones that don't go home with us are looking at us as their example. So I challenge us all. Be that example. If we're a father, be the father that is that example. If we're a mother, if we're a family member, if we're just a member of this congregation, let's accept the responsibility of seeking and saving the lost and helping them find salvation. Well, I did not mention first principles in the lesson today, but I think everyone here, having reached a degree of maturity, understands what that's all about. I chose, though, as an invitation song, actually a song that is speaking to those of us who are already Christians, but we realize that we've left Jesus waiting in the lurch for us. So if there is someone here who needs to respond in order to be baptized, or if there is someone who needs to come back home, as did the prodigal, we invite you to come. Ken will meet you here at the front. Let's sing the three.